Do you know what the most important day in your life is? Now, that's an open-ended question because there's not really a set answer for that. That can be answered in many, many ways. Some people would say the day of their baptism. Someone might say the day of their death if they're ready to meet the Lord. There's any number of possible answers, but I have a reason for asking this question tonight. There are three points in time that usually grab our attention. In order, they are yesterday, tomorrow, and today. And I mean them in that order. In the Bible, they appear as follows. Yesterday is found six times in the Old Testament, three times in the New Testament, so a total of nine times. Tomorrow, or the word morrow, is found in the Old English, appears 39 times in the Old Testament, 10 times in the New Testament, for a total of 49 times. But today, or this day, appears 133 times in the Old Testament, 37 times in the New Testament, for a total of 170 times. Emphasis is placed upon today. Now, this is from Cruden's Concordance, is where I got these figures. Each of these points in time deserve our thoughts, our consideration, and each one is important to us, and they have to be kept in their proper perspective as to what they represent and what they are. So let's talk about yesterday for a minute. Yesterday ended last night for us. Last night at midnight, in fact, it became today. I saw today, I was up until about 12:30 this morning, and so I saw yesterday end and I saw today start. And I don't like to stay up that late, but sometimes you just have to do what you got to do. But, you know, in the Jewish day, the day started at sunset. And so by the Jewish calendar or the Jewish reckoning of days, they had to have Jesus off the cross before the Sabbath started at sunset. And so that was one reason why the thieves' legs were broken, to speed up their death. But when they came to Jesus, they didn't need to break his legs because he was already dead. And thus it fulfilled the prophecy, not a bone of him shall be broken. Well, the thing of it is, they had to get him and these two thieves off that cross and in some graves before sunset, because otherwise it would profane the Sabbath. And they weren't about to do that. So that was your Jewish reckoning of time. So sunset marked the beginning of the day all the way to the following sunset. So, and in the Old Testament, in the time of creation, every time it says it, evening and morning was the first day. Evening and morning was the second day. Evening and morning was the third day. You'll note that when you look again now, and you'll see that's how it's set up. Evening and morning. Remember who wrote this? Moses. Moses is the one who was guided by the Holy Spirit to write the story of the creation. And as he wrote evening and morning was the first day. So that's the way it was. Well, anyway, yesterday ended last night. You know, it's the past. It's the past. It's never coming back. It's gone. People sometimes want to relive the glory days. Sometimes they want to, oh, if only we could go back. When the children of Israel returned from captivity and they laid the foundation for the new temple, all the old ones that were there, the very old ones that remembered the old temple, wept because this one was not going to be as glorious as the temple that Solomon built. They were longing for the days gone by. Well, you can't bring them back. The past is past. And there's two ways you can live in the past, and both of them are bad. Both of them are bad. You can continue to relive failures like Judas Iscariot did. Judas saw the failure of his past, what he had done, and it was past. It was already past. He had done it. And going back and throwing the silver down at the feet of the Jewish leaders did not in any way cancel out the past, did it? It didn't change what he had done. The past is set. There is no changing the past. Back to the future concept of going back in time and changing things, it's a fairy tale. It's a fairy tale. Just like Jack and the Beanstalk. These are fairy tales. You can't go back in time. There is no going back and changing the past. But you can relive your failures in the past. And so Judas, when he saw in Matthew 27 that Jesus was condemned, he was remorseful, brought back the silver to the chief priests and elders and said, I've sinned by betraying the innocent blood. What is that to us? You see to it. He threw down the silver in the temple, went out and hanged himself. That's a failure. Trying to relive his failures in the past. That's no way to do it. The other way is by resting on your past accomplishments and successes. You can't do that either. If you try to rest on what you've done in the past, oh, do you remember? Do you remember how Tanner used to be, how big we were back 21 years ago? Do you remember how big this church was 21 years ago? Do you remember back in the 74 after the tornado, how big this church got and how many things we were doing, how active this congregation was? Why, look at all the things that we used to do. And that's bad too. Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind, I press on toward the mark. And that's what we have to do. Forget the failures. Forget the successes. Learn from the mistakes of the past. Learn what you can and hang on to the lessons learned from both the successes and the failures. But the past has to be allowed to stay where it is, in the past. Let me read you a passage from Ezekiel chapter 33, starting in verse 12. Therefore you, O son of man, say to the children of your people, the righteousness of the righteous man shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall because of it in the day that he turns from his wickedness. Nor shall the righteous be able to live because of his righteousness in the day that he sins. Are you following what Ezekiel's saying? You cannot rely on your past to save you or condemn you. If you are a man who was a wicked man who lived in sin, who did not serve the Lord, and that was your past, and you repent and you turn from it, that wickedness will not cause you to be destroyed. God will forgive you, and you will be able to be one of his people. But likewise, it's true that if you did great righteous deeds in the past, that's not going to count for anything in the day that you sin. In the day that you rebel against God. That's not going to help you one bit, all the good that you did back then. It's all about now, isn't it? And not about what we did back then. But I read on. When I say to the righteous that he shall surely live, but he trusts in his own righteousness and commits iniquity, none of his righteous works shall be remembered. But because of the iniquity that he has committed, he shall die. Again, when I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, if he turns from his sin and does what is lawful and right, if the wicked restores the pledge, gives back what he has stolen, walks in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of his sins which he has committed shall be remembered against him. He has done what is lawful and right. He shall surely live. Now, obviously, sins not repented of are going to force us to live in the past. If we have sins, like for instance, if you're a liar, if you're a person who tells lies, well, you have to have an amazing memory. And you have to sort of live in the past. You have to hang on to the lies that you told and remember them perfectly so you don't slip up, see? And that's the problem of sin, ongoing sin, like we were talking about today, be it public or private, doesn't matter. Ongoing sin will cause you to have to live in the past too, because you have to, you know, it's going to haunt you, you're going to feel guilt, you're going to have dread and fear of coming doom and coming judgment, you know? So living in the past is not going to work. Yesterday is gone. Learn from it and move on. What about tomorrow? Tomorrow is one of Satan's greatest assets. Tomorrow is one of Satan's greatest weapons. Tomorrow. Tomorrow. Annie sang the song, and she was not doing Christians any favors when she sang that song. Tomorrow, tomorrow. Yeah. What about tomorrow? Somebody said, there's always tomorrow. We didn't get it done today, but there's always tomorrow. Oh, really? Really? Is there always tomorrow? Well, so far, right? So far, because yesterday was tomorrow 2 days ago. Did I say that right? Yeah. Yesterday was tomorrow 2 days ago. And the day before that was tomorrow 3 days ago. Yeah. So we can look back in the past, and based on the past, tomorrow always comes, doesn't it? Because it always has. And yet, no person has ever repented of sin or obeyed a single command of God tomorrow. No one's ever done that. Tomorrow is an assumption. If you go to bed at night and you don't say your prayers, you're assuming you're going to wake up in the morning. You're assuming that. That's a foolish, foolish assumption. That is a foolish assumption. The rich man had it in his mind. He had prospered. He had it in his mind to tear down his old barns and build bigger barns. And he had goods laid up for many years. He would eat, drink, and be merry. And God says, tonight your soul is required of you. See, to go to bed tonight without saying your prayers is making a foolish assumption that you're going to wake up tomorrow. And based on the past, yeah, yeah. You know, insurance is sold. Oh, you insurance salesmen, sorry. But insurance is sold based on the past, based on past performance. People buy stocks and invest in bonds and other investments based on past performance. But you can't base anything on tomorrow, because tomorrow has not arrived. Tomorrow is an assumption. James tells us, don't count on it. Don't count on it. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and there spend a year and buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will come tomorrow, what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. James 4, 13 and 14. Your plan may be that tomorrow you will complete a task. You will solve a problem. You will work on a bad habit. Or you will do some good work that you intended to do. And you may get to do that. And you may not be here tomorrow. And Jesus might return tonight. It could happen. There's absolutely nothing. And you better listen careful, folks. If you've been listening to television and radio, and you listen to some of these TV evangelists, they'll tell you that this has to happen before Jesus can come, and this has to happen, and Jerusalem has to become this and that, and these battles have to take place, and they would try to tell you that here's a whole bunch of a list of events that have to happen that have not happened yet before Jesus can come. You're believing a lie straight from the bowels of Satan's hell. It is not the truth. It is a lie from Satan. There is absolutely nothing that has to happen before Jesus can come back today. Absolutely nothing. The book of Revelation has been fulfilled. All the Old Testament prophecy has been fulfilled. Everything that had to happen before Jesus could come has been fulfilled. And we're just waiting. We're just waiting. And so we serve. We don't do like those in Thessalonica. They wouldn't plant their crops. They quit their jobs. They just put on white robes and went up on the roof waiting on the Lord. They honestly thought He'll be here any minute now. Any minute now. Well, yeah. Surely He'll be here soon. And Paul had to get on to them and he said, guys, you don't know when the Lord's coming back, but you have to keep living. You have to keep serving while you're here. And so we keep living, we keep serving, but we cannot plan on tomorrow. Jesus told us, don't worry about tomorrow, don't be anxious about tomorrow. Not only has Jesus got the past in His hands, He's got tomorrow in His hands too. And He is holding it securely for you. And more importantly, He's holding you securely. He said that if you're in His Father's hands, no man can take you out of His Father's hands. And if you've obeyed the gospel, if you've dedicated your life to the service of God, then you are in God's hands and you're as safe as anybody could possibly ever be. And nothing can happen to you without God's consent. Nothing. And so when Jesus does come back, whenever it is, if you stay faithful to the Lord, you'll be ready. But he told us you don't have to worry about tomorrow. However, lack of faith, excessive anxiety will cause people to wait for the right time. The right time. When the time is right, I'll obey the Lord. When the time is right, I'll come to Jesus. Tomorrow, someday, I'll get it right. No, you won't. No, you won't. It didn't happen in Scripture, and it won't happen in your life either. If you wait, you will lose. No, there's trusting in yesterday or trying to relive yesterday is a waste of time. Waste of time. Learn from it. Learn from it. Preparation for tomorrow is a good thing to do. Prepare for tomorrow. Prepare. You have work. You know, Steve was out here a while ago. He had to go on. He had work he had to get done tonight before he could go home. So he came out here. He was here this morning. And I don't know if he ever left and went and got dinner or not. He worked back here and he got this pad ready so we can pour the concrete this next week. So, I mean, he's got it ready. He was making preparation for tomorrow. But if the Lord comes, it won't matter anyway. We were actually talking about that back there a while ago. If the Lord comes, it won't matter anyway. But if He doesn't, we're making plans for tomorrow. Christmas party coming up on the 10th. That's next Sunday night after church. Don't forget, everybody be here. We're going to have a great time. Then the following Sunday night, we're going singing. We're going to load up in the van and however many cars we need. And after church, we're going to go around and sing to some of our sick and shut-in. The first stop is Lucille Hine. That'll be our first stop. She goes to bed about 7:30, so we got to get there before she goes to bed. But we're going to get over there, we're going to sing, and we're going to pray with her, and we're going to have a nice visit, go next door and sing to Marge, and we're going to move around through our community singing at some of our sick and shut-ins at the homes. It's going to be a great time. And then I'm going to go buy everybody hot chocolate at Cracker Barrel. It's going to be a good time. And I told Hilda, put in the bulletin, I'm not buying you supper. I'm just buying you hot chocolate, okay? It's up to you to buy your supper. But here's the thing. You know, we have to put these plans together. We're planning a gospel meeting again in February. You have to put these plans together. We don't know when it's going to be, and we're not counting on it. We're not depending on it. But service has to go on. Plans have to be made. It's appropriate and it's right to plan for tomorrow. But don't count on tomorrow. And don't put off till tomorrow serving the Lord and doing what you know you need to do today. And that brings us to our final day, the final point in time, and that is today. This is the point in time which usually receives the least amount of attention. This is the point in time that people don't want to deal with. I don't want to deal with today. I'd rather deal with it tomorrow. Don't make me deal with it right now. I'll talk to you later. Later is one of everybody's favorite words when it comes to something that we really don't want to do or don't want to talk about. Later. That which is mentioned most in the Bible, though, is today. People want to talk about tomorrow and they want to talk about yesterday. But today is what you have. Today is what you have. All that is really ours is, number one, our duty to obey God's commands. And number two, today in which to do it. All we have is, one, our duty to obey God's commands. And number two, today in which to do it. That's what you have right now. And the result of our obedience, that's up to God. He didn't tell us to succeed. He said try. He said try. The results are up to God. We sow the seed. We preach the gospel. We share the word. The results are up to God. We share the word. We tell the story. The results are up to God. So that's the first thing, up to God. The second thing is the future. Belongs to God exclusively. Tomorrow is God's. It's not mine. It's God's. Yesterday is God's too. You know what else? So is today. So is today. Jesus taught His followers to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Matthew 6, verse 11. We're to work today. Matthew 21, verse 28, Jesus gave this parable. He says, what do you think? A man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterward, he regretted it and went. Then he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? Now, I don't know if the second boy had the intention of going at a later time or not. The Bible doesn't tell us. But it says very clearly the first one obeyed his, or it makes it very clear by implication that the first one obeyed his father. Even though he delayed his obedience, he still realized what he needed to do, and he did obey his father and went and worked in the vineyard that day, just like he was expected to do. Tomorrow, folks, no longer matters. Yesterday no longer matters. Tomorrow is not yet ours to worry about. Today is all that matters. The popular saying is, today is the first day of the rest of your life. I think we need to change that a little bit. The Bible says today may be the rest of your life. Today may be the rest of your life. So today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart, but submit and humble yourself and come to Him. If you're not a Christian, you need to obey the gospel. Believe in Jesus. Believe Him enough. Believe that He's the Son of God. And believe it enough that you're willing to turn away from sin, to repent. That's what repentance is. To turn away from sin and commit your life to the service of the Lord. Confess with your mouth that you believe Jesus is the Son of God and be baptized in water for the forgiveness of sins. And God will add you to His church, His kingdom, His body, His bride. You'll be one of His children. And your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Heaven will be your home if you will walk faithfully to your Lord. And that's what I would say then to all who are Christians today. Walk faithfully with your Lord. And if there's sin in your life, if there's anything standing between you and Him, deal with it today while you have a chance, because you don't have tomorrow. And yesterday is already gone. So deal with it today while you can. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we invite and encourage you to come right now as we stand and sing.